Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. I'm Matt Tate. I'm joined by Tom Keegan, and we're actually sitting at the Anderson Family Football Complex on day one of KU football's fall camp. We're waiting to go out and check out practice and get a view of these guys with our eyes, but we just got finished up, Tom, talking with some coaches, assistant coaches. I know you spent a lot of time talking to Reggie Mitchell. I bounced around to four or five different guys. Let's just give some people some of the interesting things that these guys said, an hour or so before they head out to the practice field for the first time this season.
Yeah, when Reggie talked to me about how they're doing the recruiting now, one interesting thing he said was that they probably saw 100 junior colleges. They were at 100 junior colleges in the spring. They did a blitz, he called it. Every coach is out there just checking out, seeing who's there, what is the available talent. And there are guys, when you go into a junior college, there's like five or six placed guys. The coach lets you know these guys are off limits. They've already been placed here by a school. And that way you know not to do it. And he said, well, can you do it anyway? He said, no, then they won't let you back. So that's
nice.
Interesting
that's
to
really
me.
That's really interesting.
Another really interesting thing that Reggie said was that they're now having the area guy makes the first visit. You're allowed two visits to the school.
So they've got a region that they're in charge of. Right. Okay.
And so then on the second visit, you bring the position coach with you. And that makes perfect sense because
you're making the contact.
Yep.
And then the kid needs to know who he's going to be playing for.
Right. And then Reggie says, he says to the players, the running backs he recruits, if you don't like me, you shouldn't come here.
Wow.
But that's brilliant of Reggie to say that because everybody likes Reggie.
That's a good point.
You don't meet Reggie Mitchell and not like him right off the bat.
Right. Yeah, that's a real good point and a nice look at the strategy that goes into recruiting. It is wild. Spent some time talking with wide receivers coach Eric Keesaw about the Nigel King thing. We talked about it yesterday in the podcast, and really one of the big connections that landed King here was Keesaw having a relationship with Nigel's high school coach.
Right, not with Nigel himself.
Not at all. And there were a couple of guys that he had coached at Cal and such that had played for this same coach. And once it became obvious or known that the kid was going to look for another school, Keesaw got a call from the coach, said, hey, you need a guy? And he talked about how huge that is in the recruiting game because you have to foster those relationships. He said, that was 4 years ago when I was dealing with this guy for an actual recruit. It'd been a while. But the thing is, I kept that relationship up. I kept in contact with him. I called him. I touched base with him from time to time just to take care of things. And all of a sudden, you get a phone call out of that, and now you got a guy who could end up starting for you, a 6'3", 210-pound wide receiver with Division I experience.
I bet he's a good blocker. I don't know that.
But. Yeah. Well, he talked about his size, too, and he said it's a real big deal. It kind of rounds out that receiving group because he's by far the biggest guy. I mean, Justin McKay is a big dude, but Justin McKay is not 6'3 quite. So he really brings a lot of size and a nice addition there. And obviously, we still have to see what he can do and see what kind of talent he can bring to the table and what he can if he can produce. But, it seems like that's a nice connection for sure. These guys are excited about this season getting underway, and I think coaches are always excited. It's their profession. It's what they do. But you really can get a sense that they're fired up for year three of the Charlie Weiss era, and a lot of that is because of the veterans that they have on this team. I mean, so many seniors that have been in these meeting rooms with these guys year after year now and know what to expect. Campo said, hey, we're way ahead of where we've been in the past on day one just because we have all these guys returning.
Right, and I talked to Campo. He said that it's not a bunch of baloney, that there really is something to seeing the spread offense in practice every day.
Sure. That's a great point.
It helps you defensively, and he thinks that that's a significant thing.
Yeah, defensive backs coach Scott Vestal told me, too, when I asked him about, does the excitement. It's very clear that these seniors, Ben Heaney, Tony Pearson, Nick Harwell, all these guys, it's very clear that they're excited about this season. They believe in themselves. They believe that they have a chance to be pretty good this year. That's easy to see. If you follow them on Twitter, if you read some of the things we've written, that's clear. But I asked a lot of these guys today, does that extend to the coaches too? Do you have that same vibe, that same feeling? And And Coach Vestal said, yeah, you know, there's no question. He said, there's a different feel. He goes, I know coaches say that every year at every program, every single time. It's different this year. It's different this year. And he said, but that's the reality here. There is a different feel, and we are very excited that we all feel like we've worked really hard these last couple of years to build this thing and to get it moving in the right direction. And you know, they're not there yet, but he kind of indicated that they all really sense that they're on the cusp of getting it moving a little faster and a little higher and all those things. So it's cool to see these guys right before they go out to the practice field, because this is what their livelihood is. This is what they chose to do. This is how they make their living and support their families. And a lot like the kids who play this game that go out there and have fun and jump around and get excited, these coaches do the same thing. They're going to hit the practice field running and jump up and down and scream and hoot and holler. And I think that's one of the cool things about the beginning of any season. It's everybody's got a chance. Everybody's excited. Everybody believes that this is their year. And I think that's the case here.
Right, and speaking of what you do for your livelihood, there was a tiny bit of news here, and that's involving Dylan Admire.
Sure.
He knows what he wants to do with his life. He wants to be a strength and conditioning nutrition guy, graduates in December because he came here a semester early.
Right.
Can't believe it's been 4 years. So he decided he's going to concentrate on that and get himself moving toward his career, which is not football. Wouldn't have played.
Right.
You know, sound decision on his
part. Absolutely. A very smart move. I mean, he could have stuck with the team and his buddies and you know, gone through practices and beaten up his body and all that. But, you know, years down the road, his body's going to benefit from that decision too. And if you're not going to play and you don't have a chance to play after college, you can still be friends with all these guys. You just don't have to go through that pounding. So
right.
I think it is a good move, and it certainly doesn't hurt the team any, because, you know, he was a center who dropped a ton of weight, who moved to tight end, and they're loaded at tight end, and they have a ton of offensive linemen that would have been ahead of him too. He wouldn't have even been able to survive on the offensive line because of the weight he's dropped. So, yeah, not a bad deal at all for him. And Connor Embry was the same thing. Connor Embry was a, you know, all Big 12 type of return man for KU, and he had a great season, and he was done. He wanted to be a coach. He could have played one more year, but he said, "No, I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna go get my coaching career started. I want to do this." So, you know,
now, if someone could be as good a punt return man with their speed as Connor Embry was with his.
You know,
do all the decisions you make be as sound as Connor Embry was, and then be a lot faster than Kevin.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, the initial depth chart. We didn't talk a ton about that yet, but those kick return positions, both kickoff and punt return, had some very interesting names. I mean, I saw Isaiah Johnson down there.
Kevin Short,
right. I mean, some frontline guys that play as starters, potentially. You know,
Harwell was on
I
the...
thought Harwell was down there, too. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, that's... that's really tells you something about what these guys think in terms of the importance of the special teams role and the importance of actually the return role, too. I mean, getting better field position. Who are some other names on that list?
As we said, for punt return, Isaiah Johnson, Nick Harwell, Kevin Short, Trey Parmalee.
There you go.
Kick return, Corey Shepard, Harwell, Short,
Shepard
and Parmalee.
Yeah, so those guys...
Shepard's good at kick return.
For sure, yeah. He's got speed. He can, you know, he can fly.
Straight line runner.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's interesting. I think, you know, that's one of those things when you're kind of going through the offseason and trying to predict the two deep and guess and all that. It's so hard to do that because you don't know if they're going to put a guy like Connor Embry, who was a walk-on when he held the job, or if they're going to take that gamble and do what they're doing here and put Isaiah Johnson and Ja'Cory Shepard and Kevin Short. I mean, front-line guys. You know, each coach has a different philosophy. And obviously Coach Weiss has decided that the philosophy here is going to be, hey, let's put our best guys out there. You know, if this is our best guy as a punt returner, he's going to play. I don't care where else he plays on the field. So always fun to watch how that kind of develops too. Practice is coming up here in a little bit. We don't get to see a ton of it. We see the beginning, a few drills, a few stretches, and then they close the gates on us and have us go back to our writing and our real jobs. But
the one thing that you can see is conditioning. And I remember going from Mangino to the Turner Gill era, the conditioning, the guys just didn't look to be as sound conditioning-wise. And they're looking for more size on the line. It'll be interesting to see Larry Mazeek, which is how Charlie pronounced it, Charlie Weiss, and Devin Williams, two huge guys, and it'll be interesting to see them in person.
I'm looking forward to seeing Nigel King, too. I mean, KU sent out a photo of him and Eric Kesaw when he first got to town, and Kesaw was a little bit in the background, so he's that kind of perspective of size is offset a little bit there, but King was like five times his size in this photo, so I want to see how big he looks. They're not in pads today, so it's just one of those 3 days that they have to go through without wearing full pads and you know, no heavy hitting and all that. But it's cool to see these guys move around and who looks good, who looks intense, who looks, you know, changed. We'll get to see all kinds of stuff like that. So check it out later today for the What Caught My Eye blog from practice. And check back tomorrow for another podcast. We get some more access to interviews and such. And Tom and I will be back with another podcast and more KU football nuggets for you. So thanks for checking out this one, and we'll talk to you guys next time.